always miss our pastor. But he gave me a little bit of short notice today, and I'm going to tell on him because I had actually just finished up lunch, which is probably a good thing because I didn't feel too good after he called and asked me to do this. So a little bit short notice, and my first thought was, well, I'll just pull out a Sunday school lesson, something we've done, and we'll be good. But I kept being drawn back to what God's been dealing with me about in my personal devotion time. So if it's okay tonight, I'll be the first to tell you, it may be scattered, it may not be very well organized, but I believe it's what God would have us here. So I want us to talk tonight about being in His presence, being in the presence of God. And let me start out by saying this. We know that God is omnipresent, right? Means He's everywhere. Right now, He is everywhere. And I know in at least my little simple mind, it's a little hard for me even to comprehend that He can be everywhere at one time, but He is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Over in Psalm 139, verse 7, it says, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence?" And of course, the answer to that is nowhere. There's nowhere we can go and not be in His omnipresence. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. And we're not talking about another presence of God, and that's His inner presence. How many of you are thankful that one day you made a decision and you asked God to come into your heart, and now He's with us? He's inside of us. And I'm so thankful that there's nothing that can separate me from that love, that He comes and He lives, He abides inside of me. You know, Jesus said that when He was here on earth, He said, well, He dwells with you, but there's coming a day when He will be in you. And aren't you thankful for that day, that now the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, lives inside of us? So we've got His omnipresence. We've got His presence inside of us, but tonight I want to talk about something that we're going to call His manifest presence, okay? The time when He manifests Himself, when His glory, when His power just becomes obvious to us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have any of you ever experienced those times? I think all of us, at the day when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, unless the Holy Spirit draws us and convicts us, unless we were at that time, then we can't really be born again. But when He comes and He manifests Himself and we realize, and the Bible talks about our spiritual eyes being opened so that we can see that we're lost and we need a Savior, that's a manifestation of God. So all of us that have been born again, we've at least had that time when we felt God's manifest power, His manifest presence. Well, that's what I want us to talk about tonight, and that's when He makes His presence known among us. You with me? Okay, when He makes His presence known among us. And what I want to talk about tonight is how we can be in His manifest presence. How we can be in a situation to where we know that God is with us. To where we can sense through our Holy Spirit, through our reborn spirit that's inside of us, that we can know that God is present with us, that He is manifesting His presence. Now, so we're going to talk about being in His presence. Now, Elizabeth and Abigail, let me just tell you, your dad may not be a spitter, but I'm a spitter, so I'll try not to spit on you. Y'all are being awfully brave. But we're going to talk about God and His manifest presence. Now, all of us know, and I want us to start out talking about, number one, His manifest presence. And all of us know that when God created Adam and God created Eve, what did He do? What did He start doing? He breathed the breath of life into them. But if you remember the story, it talks about in the cool of the day that He would do what? It said that He would come down and He would walk and He would talk with Adam and Eve. So they experienced that manifest presence, that time where they were actually there with God, and they could communicate, and they could have communion, and they could have what we talked about a few weeks ago, that fellowship with Him. So they had that manifest presence. But what happened when Adam sinned? If you got your Bibles, turn with me all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures real quick, and we'll be short tonight. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, everybody found it? Listen to what the word says. It says, this is after Adam had sinned, and it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So did you hear what they did? It says they hid themselves from the presence. Now, were they able to hide from the omnipresence of God? No. Did he know where they were? Yes. But they were able to hide from that manifest presence of God. You following me? So when they sinned, what they lost was that manifest presence. Now, here's the thing. Sin will always cause us to hide from God. Does that make sense? It's what we do, but is it the right thing to do? No. If there's ever a time that we need to be in His presence, it's when we've blown it. Anybody besides me ever blow it? You mess up? You say the wrong thing to your wife. You say the wrong thing to your kids. You do the wrong thing at work. You treat people wrong. You get behind the wrong person going down the road, and you have the wrong thoughts, and you blow it, and you mess up. I do it. But when we do that, that's when we really need to be in His manifest presence. That's when we need to know God is here with me. But what do? We tend to hide. See, here's the great thing. The blood of Jesus allows us to enter boldly, and get this, even when we sin. Somebody should have said amen right there. Because aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? See, He made it possible through His death, His resurrection. He made it possible that we could enter into the throne room of God, that we could have that manifest presence so that we could be with Him and know that He's with us. Even when we sin, said that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and do what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can still go into His presence. So the blood allows us to enter boldly. So we can't hide from His omnipresence. He's everywhere all the time. But we can hide from His manifest or from His known presence. Y'all with me? Feel like I'm losing some of you. Talking about His known presence, His manifest presence. Let's look at another example in Exodus chapter 33. This is Moses. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. This is Moses. He says, God says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And listen to Moses' response. He said, if your presence does not go, don't make us go up from here. See, Moses realized that he needed God's manifest presence with him. He needed to have Him. So he realized that, he said, if you're not going with me, God, don't make us go. How much better would we be if every decision that we made, if we said, God, if you're not going with me, I'm not doing it. God, if you're not going to be with me, I can't do it. And see, that's when we're totally dependent upon Him, when we need that manifest presence. Let's look at it like this. Let's say that tonight, here in this service, there's a billionaire, a multi-billionaire sitting here in the service, okay? And he's here. So he's here in our presence. But here's what he does. He says, tonight, Joey, I'm going to give you $1 million. And he says, in fact, I'm going to give several of you $1 million. I'm going to do something for you tonight. Now, let's wait just a minute in case that billionaire is here and he decides he wants to do that. Don't see anybody moving, so we'll assume he's not. But what did he just do? What did that billionaire just do? He manifested himself. You follow that? Now, here's the thing about God. Just like that billionaire is going to give Elizabeth $1 million, something that she can't do for herself, but he does it for her. And see, that's what happens when God manifests his power. Do you follow that? He comes, and when we get into that situation to where we're in his manifested presence, Joey, he does something for us that we can't do for ourselves. He does something that's bigger than what we can do. He does something that other people can't do for us, that only he can do when we get in his manifest presence. So there's a manifest presence. And how many of you agree, if that's the place where God can do things for us that we can't do for ourselves, how many of you agree that that's the place we want to be? That's where I want to be. So, number one, we're looking at his manifest presence. And number two, well, first of all, let me say this. We're going to look at entering and leaving God's manifest presence. So we're going to look at two more things, but first I want to start with leaving his presence, and then we're going to come back to the most important part, and that's entering his manifest presence. But leaving. Back over in Genesis chapter 4, we know that Cain and Abel, y'all remember the story? What happened there? God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, and he wasn't pleased with Cain's sacrifice, and they were brothers, and what did Cain end up doing to Abel? He killed him. He murdered him. Well, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, it says this. It says, then Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Back when we worked with teenagers, we used to say that the land of Nod was a place where people slept a lot. Y'all were slow. Roger, did you get that? You got it now. Okay. All right. But here he was. And Cain, he left God's presence. It says he went out from the Lord's presence. So how do we do that? How do we leave his presence? Again, he can't leave his omnipresence, but he left his manifest presence. How do we do that? Just like Adam and Eve did it. What did they do? God said, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did they do? They disobeyed. They ate anyhow. God told Cain, I'm not pleased with your sacrifice. This is what you need to do to have a sacrifice that's acceptable to me. And what did Cain do? He said, I'm not going to do it your way, God. I'm going to do it my way. So when we disobey God, guess what? We leave that manifest presence. Now, I'm not talking about a set of rules. Man, I tell you, when I was a kid growing up in church, the church that I attended had so many rules. I had to be honest with you. I looked at it as a kid and I said, if this is what being a Christian is all about and all you can do is have to follow all these rules, it doesn't sound like a very appealing place to be to me. As it said, don't go to ball games, don't go to movies. Had this rule that said, don't do mixed bathing. And I didn't know what that was, but it actually meant don't be swimming. Boys and girls shouldn't be swimming together. So we had a whole list of rules. And I thought, man, that doesn't sound like a very fun life to me. Well, I'm not talking about those lists that men make, but what I'm talking about is when we willfully hear God and God says, maybe it's even something that our pastor says, and he says, church, this is what God's saying we need to be doing. And we hear it, and we leave here, and we say, well, yeah, I heard what the preacher said, but I think I'll just keep on doing things my way. Yeah, I heard the preacher say, well, you should be tithing, you should be giving, but I think I'll just keep my money. Preacher said, well, we need to have some time every day with God, but I think I'll just keep doing things my way. When we hear God and we willfully disobey him, then what we're doing is we're leaving that manifest presence. Just like it happened with Adam and Eve, just like it happened with Cain, just like it happens with others. So we can talk about being in his manifest presence. We can talk about his manifest presence. We can talk about leaving. But here's what I really want to get to tonight, and that is entering his manifest presence. Being in his manifest presence. Turn with me one more place or a couple more places over in the Psalms. Y'all all right? Psalm 95. First two verses says, "Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation." And then listen to verse 2. It says, "Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song." Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. And then over just a couple of chapters in Psalm 100, verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing." You noticing anything common about entering into his manifest presence? Music and singing may be more important than we realize. Do you see that? Music and singing seems to be awfully important when it comes to entering into his presence. Entering into his manifest presence. What did our preacher say when he opened up the service? Anybody remember the verse that he quoted? He said that God inhabits what? Our praises. The praises of his people. Music and singing is important. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, I'm not a singer. I'm not a musician. Well, here's the thing. The music and the singing is not the focus. The music and singing is not what we're focused on when we're talking about this. What we're focused on is the one who's worthy of our praise. Amen? We're praising the one who's worthy of all praise. And his name is Jesus. So you don't have to be a musician to worship through music. You don't have to be a singer to worship through music. You might be like a person I heard of said, he said, "I'm a jailhouse singer." And I thought, well, he must mean, well, I'm like Paul and Silas. I sing when I'm downtrodden and I'm cast into jail. He said, no, that's not it at all. He said, "I'm a jailhouse singer." He said, "I'm always behind a few bars and I'm searching for the key." So we may not have talents and abilities. Y'all don't want me to sing. But aren't you thankful that we've got people that can lead us into worship? Because it's not about the music, it's not about the singing, but it's about who we're singing about. It's who we're singing to. Now, here's the thing when we're talking about entering into his presence. And here's what God's been dealing with me about. Is it's really sad when we think that for some of us, maybe even the majority of us, the only time we really enter into his manifest presence is maybe just one time a week. Maybe it's when we come together on Sunday morning and the song is one of our favorites that's sung. And maybe at that time we get to that point to where our spirit, just something inside of our spirit just jumps. I can remember when Sandy was pregnant with our kids, we'd lay in the bed at night and sometimes that baby would kick so hard it'd wake me up out of a sleep. Well, sometimes spiritually that happens to us when we're in that manifest presence of God. Just something inside of us just stirs and just kicks because we're in his manifest presence. But I think it's sad for some of us that maybe the only time that happens to us that we really feel that manifest presence of God is on a Sunday morning or maybe on a Wednesday night. And see, that's really where God started dealing with me because I'm like probably most of you. You know, I have a time every day that I say, well, this is going to be my quiet time. This is going to be my time of devotion. And here lately, it's gotten to where I would spend my time reading the Bible. I'd spend my time praying, and that was it. It was almost like I said, okay, well, I can check off my to-do list, God. I did what I'm supposed to do as a good Christian, and I go on about my way. But then I was reminded of a friend of mine that said something a few years back, and he said God had told him, said, your devotion time's gotten to be like a drive-through. And what he was saying was, you run in real quick, you want to do what you got to do, you want to get what you need from God, and you want to be on your way. Just like you pulled into the drive-thru at McDonald's. Got to be quick, 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 because I got all these other things to do. But here's the thing. If we would take some time, if all of us as Christians would take some time every day during our devotion time, and we would worship Joey, and we would enter in, and we would get into his presence daily. See, for the longest I've been praying, and my prayer has been for liberty, that when we come together, that every person that comes in here, when they leave this place, my prayer has not been that they would say, man, that's great music. My prayer has not been, hey, that's great singing. Not even that they would leave and say, hey, that's great preaching that we heard from our preacher. But my prayer has been that people would come in here and they would leave and say, man, God was in that place. Praying that they would recognize God's manifest presence. But God's been dealing with me even more and saying, well, it shouldn't just be when we come into liberty. Our prayer for ourselves should be, God, I need you today. I want to be in your manifest presence today. Now, I told you God's been dealing with me about this personally. And let me tell you, the first day I did this, guess what? I spent some time with God, spent some quiet time, entered into his presence, and man, I had a great day, Joey. Seemed like everything I did was productive. Things went good. You know, people were nice to me. Man, it was just, and I thought, man, this is the ticket. So I said, I'll do it again. And guess what? Wasn't a very good day. Everybody wasn't nice. Everything I did seemed like, you know, you're backing up. You take one step forward, two steps back. But here's what I've decided. Whether it's what I call a good day or whether it's what I call a bad day, here's what I've decided. I'd rather have God's presence with me whichever day it is. Good day or bad. Things go great, things don't go so good. I've decided that the best thing that I can do is start with praising him. Have that manifest presence. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is in Lamentations 3, where it says that his mercies are new every morning. And some nights, you know, it's just like some days I just, can I hurry up and just go to bed and wake up tomorrow and get those new mercies again because it's been rough. Will being in his presence eliminate all those days? No. But again, aren't we so much better off when we start our day with praise and have him with us and have that manifest presence with us every day, irregardless of how the circumstances go that day? I think it is, so we can enter into his presence. Now, here's the great things. One of the great things about being in his presence is we wake up, we enter into his presence, we have that manifestation of him, and there's just something about realizing, hey, God is with me today. And I know we know that, but there's just something about getting into his presence to the point where it is real to me. You know, a lot of times we read the Bible and we know it's true, but aren't you thankful for those times when you read a verse and all of a sudden it just becomes real to you? And you recognize, hey, that doesn't just apply to Abigail. That applies to me. That's a truth. That's a promise for me. The other great thing about being in his manifest presence is that's when we get to know him. See, there's times in my life when I say, God, I just want to know the truth. Because you can watch preachers on TV, and you can watch one, and he'll tell you this. And you can watch the next one, and he'll tell you something different. You can read this book, this Christian book, and it'll say one thing about God. You read this other Christian book, and it'll say something else. Anybody else ever get to the point and you say, God, I just want to know the truth. I want to know what you're really like. I want to know what you would do in this situation. Well, that's what this would be. See, I like to read about presidents. And so I know a little bit about some of the presidents, some things that people have told me, but I don't know them because I've never spent any time with them. Now, Sandy here, I venture to say I know her better than anybody else in the room other than herself. In fact, after being married to her for over 28 years, I learned some things just recently that I never knew about her. She does not like peach milkshakes. and she does not like salt on her cantaloupe. And for 28 years, I've been buying her peach milkshakes, and I've been putting salt on the cantaloupe. But now I know better, because I spend time with her. And see, that's the way it is with God. See, it's great to hear what people up here, what the preacher says about God, but what really is great when I can say, I know this about God, because this is what he's done in my life, because I've been with him. And see, that even, you know, we have all kinds of excuses for not witnessing, but I think one of the greatest reasons we don't witness like we should is because really we haven't taken the time and we haven't really gotten to the point where we can say, this is what God's done for me. This is what he will do for you. So here's what I want to ask you to do tonight. We talked about his manifest presence. And I want to challenge us all to enter into his manifest presence on a daily basis. But there's no better time than right now to start, in my opinion. So I'm going to ask us to do this. I'm going to ask you, if you will, just to stand up with us. And Sandy, I'm going to ask y'all, if you don't mind, if y'all will come and just do that last song. And it doesn't have to be loud, but just do it. Because, again, music, singing is important for us to enter into his presence. It's about us worship. It's about us praising him. And let me tell you this. Again, I'm not a singer. But you can worship, you can praise a number of different ways. I'm not going to tell you you got to raise your hands. I'm not going to tell you you got to stand up. I'm not going to tell you you got to cry. But one of the simplest ways that we can enter into his presence, and one of the things that works best for me, is if I just close my eyes and get quiet. Because you know what I do if I don't close my eyes? All of a sudden I start looking at Rodney. Well, what's Rodney doing? Is he raising his hands? Is he clapping? What's he doing? Or I look at Miss Sheila and I get distracted. My mind starts going 1,000 different ways. But I want to ask you tonight, just whatever way you feel God would have you do. If you want to come down, you come down. If you want to stay in your seat, you stay in your seat. But I'm going to ask us tonight just to praise him. Just thank him. Just thank him for that breath that's in our lungs. Just thank him that he's given us the ability to come here tonight. Just praise him in whatever way you see fit tonight. Amen. Thank you again so much for being here tonight. Be much in prayer for our services Sunday. Aren't you excited about what God is doing? Amen. Amen. Roger Mueller, will you dismiss us, please?